My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 30th of July 2009 at 1:25 a.m. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
Yeah, my name is Alistair Herschel Mackay. My date of birth is 2010-61 and I'm from Brough.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
A little bit apprehensive, I think. It's quite interesting walking around the square and seeing the homeless people coming out to play at this time of night, so I'm quite happy that they're there because they look quite peaceful.
How did you first hear about the project?
I can't really remember. I mean, I'm quite interested in Anthony Gormley anyway, so I must have just picked something up in the media somewhere, I think.
And what is it that inspired you to apply?
I like the idea. And I thought it was better than the other proposals for the plinth that were in the same competition. I'd always been interested in Anthony Gormley's representations of humans and himself, and so to be one of those I thought was interesting.
And had you followed some of the other projects on the plinth before?
Yeah, I mean, not I hadn't made a point of it, but I had seen them and been interested in them, although not all that impressed with some of them.
And what is it about Anthony Gormley's work that you like?
It's hard to say. I think it's probably the human scale. I mean, I really like the Event Horizon that he did in London, where the figures of himself were around London and that kind of changed the environment. So it was, and people have to interact with them as well. So they're not standoffish and they're not in a gallery, they're in a public space. So I like that thing about them. And being from Scotland, I'm quite sentimental about the Angel of the North as well, because when you're driving from London to Edinburgh on the A1, you go past it and you see it from the train too, and it always feels like you're nearly home.
And so how does it feel to be part of a Gormley project?
I was quite keen in theory to be part of it, but how it feels right now is slightly like I can't quite remember why I decided to do it. It feels a bit foolish to be here at 2 a.m, to stand doing nothing for an hour. But I did have a think about why I was doing it before I came out, and I realised that I had, you know, I'd given my word I would do it, so I had some kind of bond of honour to carry it out.
Had you given word to yourself or to other people?
Well, I'd agreed to do it, so I didn't want to let anyone down. And I was trying to work out where my responsibility lay, because if, for instance, I'd said, I'll meet you in the pub at 2 a.m. and I'd changed my mind, I would have just not gone out. But I did come out, so I figured that there was some broader responsibility to it.
So who would you say that you're doing it for?
I think the real answer is for myself. I think it would be a bit foolish to say otherwise, though I don't really know quite the answer to why I'm doing it for myself.
Can you tell us what you'll be doing for the hour?
Yeah, the simple answer is that I just want to be alive for the hour, because I get a bit anxious about everyone trying to perform on the plinth, and I don't really want to perform. I just want to be, the concept of what I'm doing, which is a little bit pretentious, but it is that the other statues on the other plinths are all militaristic, and so I'm going to be unmilitaristic. The other statues are dead, so I'm going to be alive. So if I can breathe for the whole hour, that'll be a success in my book. But I also work for an organisation that campaigns against gun violence. So in a sense, that's the concept too, is that I'm representing a campaign against gun violence. So if the plinth isn't too wet, I'm going to draw my own chalk outline on the plinth.
And where did the idea come from?
For the chalk outline? Well, originally I wanted to do candles and I was going to have a candle for every person. I was going to light a candle for every person who would be shot dead in the next hour, which is one every 90 seconds. So there would have been 40 candles, but no naked flames are allowed on the plinth, so, which I only found out yesterday. So I had to think about it, and chalk outline is a good representation of death from gun violence.
And will you be lying within the outline for the hour?
No, I think unless a funny turn comes over me, I won't be lying in the outline, because I'd like people to see it. I may stand where the feet are for a little while, but Frankly, I just think I'll survive the hour and see what happens.
And do you plan on being like a statue?
No, I think I'll just be up there. And if people speak to me, then I'll speak back. But if I get very bored, which I don't think I will, but if I do, I've got a lot of news reports about recent gun violence, which I may read. But I'd rather not, actually.
So would you rather be quiet, or do you plan on doing some talking?
I don't plan on doing some talking. Idly, I would just like to be quiet and have a think. I'm a little bit concerned because some of my work colleagues may turn up and expect me to be representing them. And so then my responsibility is to pay attention to them and do something for them, which makes it a slightly different thing than just being self-indulgent and pottering around for an hour.
What's the organisation that you're working with?
The organisation's called IANSA, which is the International Action Network on Small Arms. And it represents, I get the numbers wrong, but it's something like 800 civil society organisations in about 90 countries.
And can you tell us a little bit more about what it is that they do exactly?
Well, they campaign, I mean, the broad idea is to campaign against gun violence, and that means that they support local campaigns, a lot of them Africa and South and Latin America, where guns are very much more a part of everyday life. So campaigning with local groups there to support their campaigns to get rid of guns in those countries. But also they do work at the United Nations on treaties to try and limit gun ownership and gun transfers, arms transfers in the world. So there's a kind of super legalistic side to it, but there's also a kind of human level of dealing with people who've had bad experiences of guns and trying to respond to it in a rational way.
And how did you become involved with them?
My friend works for them, and she went on maternity leave, so she mentioned it to me.
And do you do other things to help promote the company?
No, I don't really. Essentially that's a part-time job. And the other half of my job, which is my kind of full-time career, is I'm a freelance journalist. So I'm sort of being a journalist for IANSA as well. But I'm writing about film and music and more rubbishy things in my own time.
How did you get into journalism?
I just got into journalism wanting to be into it and doing it. So I did a kind of a post-punk rock fanzine and just started doing it myself and started writing music reviews and things like that. Did a bit of community journalism in Edinburgh and then gradually got into it professionally after that.
So is the work that you do with the campaigning against gun crime something that you discovered a particular interest in at some point?
Well, it was a job offer that came up and I was interested in the subject and I thought it was a worthwhile thing to do and it suited me and they liked me enough to offer me the job. But it is a 9-month contract, so it's not necessarily for my life.
And your journalism has been something you've been doing for a longer period.
Yeah, I hate to think how long I've been doing that for. I graduated from university in 1983, then was unemployed for about 3 years, as everybody was, and then been a journalist kind of since then.
And you said it's music journalism, is it mainly?
Well, I do all kinds, but music and film are kind of what I started out doing, and they're what I love. And so, just as a treat, that's what I kind of do most.
Have you followed the media around the project at all?
A little bit, and I actually did an interview with Anthony Gormley for the Evening Standard before as well, so I kind of got a first-hand explanation, and I got to stand on a box in front of Anthony Gormley as well. So.
And did you know at that time that you'd be a participant?
Yeah, I knew I was on the plinth, that was why I was doing it. So I told him about my idea and he was polite enough to be interested. So.
And what impact do you hope to have by going up on the plinth and doing what it is that you're doing?
I don't really know if I'll have any impact, and that doesn't really bother me. I think part of the impact I had was by writing that interview up and then I explained my cause, so that went into the paper. So the reason why I'm doing it has already been seen by 100,000 people. So that's a success already. So I'm not too worried.
Do Do you have any expectations about what it will be like to be up there?
I think it might be a little bit scary with the heights, and probably I think it might feel small, because it's, when you look at it, isn't that big a plinth. Before I came out, I thought it was going to be a hurricane and raining, so I've got all manner of all weather gear, and now it's quite clear, so I'm not sure.
Have you participated in arts projects or events before?
I'm not sure about arts projects. I used to be in a band a long time ago and made a terrible record and things like that. Video things I've done as well, and probably are some other things. I do photography also, and I'm going to do some photography on the plinth, hopefully, if it's not too dark.
And what will you do with the photographs that you take?
If they're any good, I'll put them on my Flickr site. And if they're not, I won't.
Are you still involved in music at all?
No. A little bit in my head. My band is terrible, but they got revived on a strange CD in America quite recently, so some college radio stations in America were playing the B-side of our single, which is rather silly of them. But
would you tell us a little bit more about your days in the band?
Well, they're not very glorious. The band was called The Commercials, and we released one record in, I think, 1981 or something like that. And in Sounds magazine, we were listed as the band which was going to be big in 1981, and they were wrong. And we were kind of at university, so the band wasn't really together by the time the record came out, and we were just pretending, and we all kind of had our lives. But it got played once on the John Peel show and got reviewed in the NME, where they said that the music was rubbish but the words were okay, and I wrote the words, so I didn't mind.
And did you get into journalism after that?
Yeah, that was, I guess I started journalism at university in a way, but the band was over by that point.
To help us get a picture of the people who are taking part in the project, we're asking everyone, what are some of the things that are important to you in life at the moment? Would you mind telling us?
Gosh, that's a big question. Something that's big is that my girlfriend's pregnant, which she's 3.5 months pregnant, so that's the biggest thing. So we're very excited about that. That kind of overshadows most things. I mean, I'm quite worried about mortgages and jobs and work and all that, but thinking about a baby has put that all to one side, and I don't really care about that stuff anymore. So,
have you got people here with you tonight?
I don't know. I was trying to persuade them not to come, because I didn't really want to have the kind of responsibility of entertaining them. Two of them claimed they were coming, and there's one said he might come if it wasn't raining, so there may be another three people, but, you know, I tried to dissuade them.
Do you feel pressure to perform?
I just think, one of the people who might come would be my boss, and she seemed to think I might make a heroic speech about guns, which I have no intention of doing, so I tried to explain to her that breathing was the main thing I was going to do, but she didn't seem to think that was funny.
Have you been watching the project online?
I've watched a little bit online, and a little bit on the Sky tele program as well.
And has anything stood out?
Not particularly online. I came in person one Saturday to watch it, and there was a guy there who I thought was really good, whose name I've completely forgotten, but he had on about 40 t-shirts with slogans on and ripped them off and threw them and then photographed people, and I thought that was really good, because he was kind of throwing the art project back at people and making them join in, so I liked him.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of the project?
It means that I can say I was part of it, which is, I mean, it's a good anecdote, I think, and a nice memory. Actually, I've just remembered I was in an art project before by an artist called Liz Radil in Edinburgh, where she made, it's a little bit like this, where she made a collage picture of Edinburgh Castle from photo booth portraits, And so the people of Edinburgh went in a photo booth and had their pictures taken, and then she made a giant picture of the Edinburgh skyline using people's photos, and so my photo was in that project too. So it's quite similar in a way.
And do you think this offers a portrait of the UK?
No, I think it offers a good portrait of the slightly exhibitionist part of the UK who's interested in Anthony Gormley and wants to show off a little bit. And that's a part of the population, but not all that representative, maybe.
Will you write about your involvement afterwards?
I think I will, because I've had something going around in my head already, and I think that doing the thing will cause me to want to write about it.
And what would that be for?
I don't know. If I can sell it, I'll sell it, because I'm a freelance journalist, but if not, I would put it on my blog.
And how would you summarise your experience of the project since you first applied and to this moment before going up?
My experience is fine. It's kind of unproblematic, apart from I didn't get sent the brochure, so I had a little paranoid moment where I thought nobody was talking to me anymore. But it's been fine. It's quite uncomplicated, and I hadn't worried about it till today, really.
And before we finish, is there anything that you'd like to add or tell us that we might not have asked you?
The only thing I would say is that I actually made an elaborate plan, and I designed a t-shirt, and I got a really nice type made for it, and I got a guy to make the t-shirt, and it got stuck in the Royal Mail, so I won't be wearing it.
Thank you.
Thanks.